you made it, Shelley. Said, I'm a little nervous. I said, well, that makes two of us. Amen. I appreciate that. And I said on the platform, this is all free, so don't put me in the clock yet. And I put one finger out and three come back. You know, if we're not careful, folks, things will just become, what I want to say, automatic. Well, it's another Wednesday night. Let's get through it. We better be careful. I better be careful not to take things for granted. Church I was first saved, there's an old boy. He talked about an attitude. Every time you'd see him, you'd say, how you doing? He says, enduring to the end. Enduring to the end. I think he finally made the end. But let's be careful. And I'm just challenging tonight, not because I'm preaching or whatever you call what I do, but let's get something from the Word of God. And let's take it with us, not just end it when we go out. And I want to be a challenge to you and a blessing to you. I want you to turn to the 51st Psalm. We'll be there in a moment, but I want you to be turned there, please. Psalm 51. And as you're turning to Psalm 51, the title of my message is this, The Barrier to Revival and God's Prayer and Power. The Barrier to Revival and God's Power. It really isn't difficult to find the obstacle that can block up the channel and choke God's power. The obstacle is this one simple little three-letter word, sin. By the way, you ever notice the spelling of sin? There's a big I right in the middle of it. And that's normally why we sin, because we're more concerned about I than someone else. It's the great barrier that alone can hinder the work of the Spirit and prevent revival. Psalm 66, 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Interesting enough, that's the same man we're going to be reading about in just a moment. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear you. Thus we see, in order for God to work, ladies and gentlemen, sin must be put away. There's no alternative, and there's no compromise to it. How do we remove the barrier? Another common verse, very familiar with. I'll read it to you. You know it. Some of you know it by heart. Dr. Barber's here. I'd have him quote it. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Listen to God's word. If my people. A lot of conditional blessings God has. This is conditionalness. If my people. That's Christians. Which are called by my name. Shall humble themselves. There's a lot of our problem right there. The pride. And pray. And seek my face. Often we seek his hand. Seek my face. And turn from their wicked ways. If we do that, listen to what he says. Then will I hear from heaven. And will forgive their sin. And will heal their land. Nothing short of a broken heart over sin. Full confession. And when necessary, restitution will satisfy God. Listen to Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. We're going to be looking at the Psalm of David, Psalm 51. He tried to cover his sins. He did not prosper. And by the way, one sin leads to another. Have you ever found that out? He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth. Now, sometimes I can get to that point. By the way, confess simply means to see things the way God sees them. And often we do not see sin as God sees it. Whoso confesseth, and that last thing, and forsaketh. We're to see things the way God sees them. We're to confess what we've done specifically, and then we're to forsake them. Then them shall have mercy. And by the way, one theme all through what we're going to look at tonight is the wonderful mercy of God. He said to Israel, "My hands are stretched out still." I don't know about you, but God is a God of the second and third chance for this old boy. We better be thankful that he's a merciful God. The background for Psalm 51, most of you probably know it. It's the psalm of confession, of repentance. David, after the sin of adultery with Bathsheba, followed by lies, and then followed by the killing of her husband to try to cover his sins. You'll find that in 2 Samuel chapter 11, chapter 12. Chapter 12, God, by the way, we hide it all from everybody except God. Amen? You can hide it from your wife and your mom and your dad and whoever else, but God sees it. And God says to Nathan, "You go down." And I want you to tell David a little story here. And he tells him the story. You're familiar with it. And David gets very wroth, gets very mad, and he says, "I'll take care of that guy." And Nathan, I don't know if he had a bony finger or not, but he was good preaching, put that little bony finger in his face and said, "Thou art the man. Thou art the man." And David is caught in his sins. And we're told that he writes this psalm in repentance to God over his sin. Remember, sin is the barrier to God's blessing. I want you to follow along. We're going to read the whole chapter. You follow with me. Now, I'll tell you what. Let's stand with your Bible. We're going to do something different. It's all right. It's all right. If you don't bring your Bible tonight, I always do this and somebody gets mad at me because they didn't bring your Bible. Well, look off somebody. And let's pause where the commas are, and pause where a little longer where the semicolons are and the colons, and pause a little longer where the periods are. And if we butcher it, that's all right. God, we're gonna read his word to him. When I say go, we're ready. We're going to read it all, okay? And let's read it. And I don't want you to just go from your eyes and on out. Somebody said a lecture in college is going from the mouth of the professor to the hand of the student without going through the brain of either. So let's don't let that happen, okay? Together, read with me. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part shalt thou make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar." Father, thank you for this marvelous psalm that you've preserved for us to read tonight. Lord, give us a heart like David now, realizing our sin, realizing the barrier it is to have blessings and to have revival. And Lord, let us have a repentant heart and join David and ask you to cleanse us. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. As we look at this psalm and keeping the idea of sin being a barrier, ladies and gentlemen, by the way, I want you to personalize this. It's going to be easy to look at David's sin, but in a moment, I'm going to nail each of us somewhere along the line. But stay with me a moment on that, please. I want you to notice a couple things as we're reading through here. David acknowledges that he is to blame. Did you notice as we move through there where the possessive my, look at verse 1, my transgressions. Verse 2, mine iniquity. My sins. Verse 3 again, my transgressions and my sin. Have I sinned? Ladies and gentlemen, one of the first steps to get rid of the barrier is realize that it's me. Like the old black boy said, it's me, oh Lord, standing in need of prayer. You know, we're in a society where we blame everything and everybody. I get tired of hearing people, I'm in jail or I'm in trouble because my mom and my dad didn't do something or because I had a messed up life. Or, you know, someday, folks, we got to look in the mirror and say, we got to take responsibility for our actions. And David had to say to God, listen, God saw it. It was in his sight. He had to say, it's my sin and my transgression. I have a real easy time finding out your sin and my neighbor's sin. But I'll tell you, when it comes to the mind, it's tough. Notice, please, he personalized it. He realized it was his sins. Look at verse 4, another great truth here. He realized his sin was against God. Oh, yes. He caused Uriah to be killed, others to be hurt through his lies and his cover-ups. But folks, ultimately, can you get the truth? We sin against God. And I don't think we get a hold of that truth. Remember Joseph, when Potiphar's wife was trying to get him to succumb to her advances? He said, how can I sin against God and do this? He realized it was his fault. His sin. He realized he sinned against God. By the way, notice three words he uses here. One of them, the word is sin. But notice he uses the word transgression. What's transgression? That's an act of rebellion. Defying God by crossing over the line God has drawn. That's transgression. Listen, David knew the Ten Commandments. Brother Frank preached on this a couple weeks ago. He knew thou shalt not commit adultery. He knew thou shalt not lie. He knew thou shalt not murder. He knew thou shalt not steal. He willfully stepped over the line. 2 Samuel 12:9, while Nathan was admonishing him and God was admonishing him for his sin, the question was asked, wherefore hast thou despised the commandments of the Lord to do evil in my sight? Transgression, iniquity. That means an inward crookedness, a perverseness. Now, some of you sitting there say, I can't do it. Listen, this man is the one the Bible says, a man after God's own heart. If he can't do it, and he can't, what about us? Are we not just as susceptible? And I'm hoping we'll get a contrite heart. We're going to see that verse in a moment about our sin. And that we sin against God, and it's ours. Sin. The word sin means missing the mark. Failing to meet God's standards. We use that in our soul winning. For all has sinned and come short of the glory of God. Notice, please, how David's physical body is affected. His soul's affected, obviously. But notice his heart's defiled. We'll come back to verse 10 in a minute. I'm going to look at it now. But he says, create in me a clean heart. He's had a black heart, amen, because he sinned. His eyes are affected. Look at verse 3. For I have acknowledged my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. You get the truth of that? I don't believe he had a night where he went to bed that he didn't see Uriah being killed. That sin with Bathsheba didn't come to his face. His ears were affected. Look at verse 8. Make me to hear joy and gladness. He had not heard joy and gladness as he covered his sin And he asked God to help his ears to hear joy and gladness. Well, look at verse 15. His lips were affected. Verse 15 says, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. How his whole soul and his whole body is affected. Now look at the verse 17. And here's what he had to come down to, folks. My premise is God's power cannot be given to us. We can't have revival in this church or anywhere if we don't remove the barrier. And the barrier has been defined to you, sin. And David realized he had to come to this point in his life. Verse 17, the sacrifices of God. By the way, let's go back to verse 16. This wasn't going to do it. David still had a lot of money and a lot of things. Verse 16, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Boy, it'd be nice if we just give some money. That sounds a little Catholic, doesn't it? Thou delightest not in burnt offering. He could have given all the burnt offerings and all the money that he had. That wasn't going to get it done, ladies and gentlemen. What was going to get it done? Verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. What's contrite mean? It means sorrowful. It means repentant. It means seeing things as God sees them. That's the key to it. Now transition, we're getting there. I've always found out if you need something fixed, if you got a plumbing problem, you got to call a plumber. That makes sense? If you got an electrical problem, you got to call an electrician. You with me? Now in my early days, in my early married life, I tried to fix all of that. I'm like that old Abbott Costello thing. I fixed the electricity and I turned on the electric switch and water came out of the bulb. Just didn't work. So Peggy finally said, why don't you call? By the way, women have a way of putting the truth. Why don't you just call the plumber? And I learned to do that. I said that to say this. You know, if I want to know about revival, I want to read about somebody that had some revivals. Are you listening to me? And quite frankly, folks, I have just been on the fringe of revival, as I understand revival. I don't know that some of you younger people have ever sensed it. But R.A. Torrey, in the last century, was a great revivalist. And he put to print a very simple yet profound, what he called prescription for revival. Three simple things. Number one, he said, first, let a few Christians. Didn't say it had to be a big crowd. Let a few Christians get thoroughly right with God themselves. And that's the crux of the message. We don't get right until we remove the sin barrier. He says that's the first step. A few Christians get thoroughly right with God themselves. This is the prime essential, he says. If this is not done, the rest will come to nothing. Secondly, he said, let them bind themselves together in prayer groups to pray for revival until God opens the heavens and comes down. I wonder if we've done that. Oh, we got together for prayer and we prayed for revival, but did we get that first step done? Did we get cleansed? Did we remove the barrier? Thirdly, he said, let them put themselves at the disposal of God for him to use them as he sees fit in the winning of others to Christ. Exactly what happens to David. He confessed his sin. He got rid of the barrier. Then he said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Doesn't mean he lost his salvation. Listen, if I got a God great enough to keep me, I got a God great enough to keep me. But he said, then I'll tell transgressors. Then I'll soul win. Then I'll witness. Has to be it. Now, you've been real comfortable, maybe. Right now, I'm going to ask God to do something for you and for me. To uncover your sin. Now, some of you are a little pious right now and a little relaxed. Oh, boy, he's going to hit adultery. He's going to hit drinking and smoking. I don't drink and I don't chew and I don't run with those that do. We're real good Christians, aren't we? Usually, it's one sin. One hindering sin. Hebrews 13 talks about the sin that so easily beset us. Now, I'm not going to talk about the drinking and the smoking and the big sins, we'd call them. But I'm going to ask you some questions tonight. I want you to look at verse 6 of our text. Verse 6. Powerful statement. I don't know all of it. I'm not a great theologian, but I think I know a little bit about it. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. You know, there's only two people tonight that know what your sin is that doth so easily beset us. That's you, and that's God. And I'm asking God to speak to all of us tonight. What's keeping us from doing what we should be doing? God's power, revival. I tell you, it's a sin. It may be one or two, and I'm going to read a few at you. Then I hope you squirm a little bit. And I really would like to skip a couple of these, because, man, I get nailed on about every one of them. But I've been saved now for 40-some years. I think I know a little bit about some things. Okay? Just don't yell, ouch, if I hit you. I like what Brother Vaught says, a bunch of dogs yelping. You throw a rock at them, and the one that gets hit is the one that yelps the loudest. So don't yelp. I'm going to ask you some questions. How many are you going to ask us? I'm not going to tell you, but when I get to 18, I'll be done. You might want to write these down. Brother Alex, I'm going to watch you. I'm just giving you a rough time, son. Talking about sin. And I hope you'll pay attention. Number one, I'll go as fast as I can, but I'm going to make a comment about one or two of them. Question number one, Christian, have you forgiven everyone? Have you forgiven everyone? Well, I have everybody but that guy, because you don't. No, that's not the question. Is there any malice, any spite, any hatred or enmity in your heart? Do you cherish grudges, refusing to be reconciled? I'm talking about in the church family, and I'm talking about in the family. I've been to some funerals, folks. It's been knocked down, drag out. They're fighting over the money that was left. Boy, are my kids going to be fooled. You know what my will says? Being a sound mind and body, I spent every cent I had. Amen? That ought to be a good one. There you go. But seriously, have you forgiven everybody? How can you do something for God? How can the barrier be removed if you haven't forgiven everybody? And listen, you may be right in what happened, but we're still supposed to forgive. Well, that's the first one. How are we doing? Number two, like I said, I wish some of these weren't in here. Do you get angry? Now, I'm a redhead. Redheads are supposed to have tempers. I don't have one. I lose mine every day. Some of you will catch that. Do you get angry? Do you still lose your temper? Uh-oh, we still got the barrier there. Does wrath at times hold you in its grip? I walked in a restaurant the other day. Now, I'm going to tell you a whole story. But my wife was sitting way in the back, and she's glad, because I got upset and I put my hand like that. Felt good in the flesh, but boy, I wasn't a very good testimony to somebody else, was I? He said, these are little things. Ah, listen. Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 15. Take up the little foxes. They can clog things up as much as big things. Well, I'll get off that or you'll get angry. Number three. Call this the green-eyed monster. Is there any feeling of jealousy? When another is preferred before you, does it make you envious and uncomfortable? Do you get jealous of those who can pray and speak and do things better than you can? Brother Reginald, you kind of do know us, don't you? You know, jealousy will kill you. I'm talking about the big things, folks. The little things. The little foxes. Number four. I really like to skip these, but God won't let me do it. Do you get impatient and irritated? Think, all right, got one. I'm gonna hang on a minute there. It's good. Do little things vex and annoy, or are you sweet, calm, and unruffled under all circumstances? And thank you, Deirdre, because you're my object lesson, because I wrote down here wife. How many of you have been married more than 10 years out of here? More than 10 years. Don't you know what aggravates your wife or your husband? Come on, talk to me. Peggy will say to me sometimes, "You're doing that on purpose." And I'm trying tongue in cheek, "Not me." Oh, but sometimes don't we just irritate and agitate and do? And we laugh and we have a good time, and that's true, but I'm telling you, but do we not sometimes do that that hinders what we're supposed to be doing? Number five. Ooh boy, I've seen some people like this. Are you offended easily? When people fail to notice you and pass by without speaking, does it hurt? If others are made much of you and you are neglected, how do you feel about it? "Well, he didn't even shake my hand." You know that song. No, we're down where McGee says where the rubber meets the road. I told you that story about that student where I said he's got a chip on his shoulder. His mom said he's got a whole forest. Easily offended. My favorite phrase is build a bridge and get over it and go down the road. I tell my boys out of Bible, if you get easily offended, stay out of the ministry. You're just going to have to chew a lot and swallow a lot. That's just the way it is. But I'm going to tell you, if we're that way, maybe that's a barrier. Amen? It's getting quiet. That's okay. Hang on. You doing all right back there, Brenda? You acting like you're paying attention. I'm watching those eyes back there. Amen. That a girl. She's shaking her head. That's what you're supposed to do. Number six, and this may be the root for all of it. Is there any pride in your heart? Are you puffed up? Do you think a great deal of your own position and attainment? Don't you just not like people that brag all the time on everything they've got and everything they do? And I got to be careful that I don't sin getting mad at them for bragging about it. Know what I'm saying? But watch the pride thing. Listen, nothing we've done, nothing, it's all to the Lord. And I know we say, you know, we did this or we did that. I hope we don't mean anything about it. But listen, anything we've done, it's of the Lord. And if it doesn't work, then you take the responsibility for it. Amen? Number seven. Have you been dishonest? It's tax preparation time. That's probably a good time to hit that baby. Is your business open and above reproach? Do you give a yard for a yard and a pound for a pound? Do you exaggerate and convey false impressions? I have a fine Christian man. He's a builder. He built my sunroom on my house. And talking to him, he says, "You know, sometimes I know I'm being taken. But," he says, "I have to swallow it, because I have to keep my testimony." That's an awful good testimony. You know what? God keeps the score, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm asking you, are we honest? Oh, I give my tithes and my offerings, but are you honest everywhere? Are you honest in the income tax? Are you honest in business? Are you honest if you found some money and turned it in? If not, a barrier, sin. Number eight, I'm going to call this the Baptist mess. I don't want to read some of these. Have you been gossiping about people? Getting real quiet. Do you slander the character of others? I've been guilty of that, haven't you? Come on, we're talking about getting buried. Let's just get down to it. Are you a tale-bearer or a busybody? These are rhetorical. I'm letting you grade yourself. And I'm talking about barriers and sins that keep the power of God, keep us from having revival. Not talking those big sins we call it. I'm talking about right in the house of God. Ooh, this next one goes right along with it. I'm hurrying. I'm halfway done. Are you happy about that? I know what the clock says. You see, I know the mark on Brother Risby is that he talks, he's real short and we get out. I'm fooling you tonight. You can endure to the end. Do you criticize unlovingly, harshly, severely? Do you find fault and look for flaws in others? You know, some people think they're a committee of one to find fault. Prove it, Brother Rigsby. Let Stephanie make one mistake in the beacon, and about 40 of you are lined up to show her the mistake. Gloria, I bet you've had people call you about some reports. I'll just happen to see you back there. Oh, get over it, folks. You'd have misspelled it three ways. Let it go. Quit criticizing. Number 10, you knew I'd get to this one if I was a Baptist preacher. I'm close enough to one. Do you rob God? Have you stolen, and not just the finances, his time and his talent that he's given you? I'll get off that one. Number 11, are you guilty? Uh-oh, we don't think of this one. Are you guilty of the sin of unbelief? Put my name on that list. You know, how dumb we are. Can all of us look back and see how good God's been to us and how he's brought us through difficult times? How dare we doubt him when the next problem comes along? We ought to be strengthened more to not doubt him. But that doubt, you see, in the Lord can be a barrier to him. Number 12 and number 13, I'm going to put these together because it speaks of our devotional life. Have you committed the sin of prayerlessness? Are you an intercessor? How much do you pray? Have you crowded prayer out of your life? Don't have time to pray. And with that, are you neglecting God's word? I beat that drum all the time, but how true it is. You know, I have no proof of this. This is Rigsby, okay? David, a man after God's own heart, something had to happen. God has not chosen us to tell what happened to David that caused him to do what he did. But if I was a betting man, I'd say he got away from the Lord in praising him and knowing him. That's just my opinion. You're entitled to yours, but what a barrier that will become. Number 14, are you burdened for the salvation of souls? I thank the Lord that Dr. Weaver's got a vision to reach people. That's why we started the team ministry and other things that we've had. Burden or just my four and no more? 15, along with that, have you failed to confess Christ openly? Have you failed to confess Christ openly? You ever get on an elevator and just start singing a hymn? It gets real quiet. Stand up for him. 16, we think of Zacchaeus. Have you wronged anyone or failed to make restitution? You have something out in your garage you borrowed from somebody? Whoops. You know, a thing like that, simple little thing like that, could be a hindrance in God working in our lives. It took me 15 years to return a tennis racket. God just got a hold of me and said, you know you borrowed that from Jerry? And I didn't know if Jerry was saved or not, but I went back. His jaw dropped. Now, I paid restitution 20% more. I bought some tennis balls for him and had the racket restrung. Of course, he was 95 years old, and couldn't you know? You just... restitution, that's biblical. Amen? Number 17, are you worried or anxious? I wonder if that's a barrier. We just worry about it or anxious about it. Or we see that God is in it. Not talking about the sin of adultery and the sin of stealing, the sin of murder. Those, obviously, we know. But listen, Christian, all these other ones, and I got one more. Hang on. Can be the hindrance for God working his power in our lives. Number 18, and how prevalent this is today, and how we have to watch it. Are you guilty? Are you guilty of lustful thoughts? Are you guilty of lustful thoughts? Billboards, television ads, TV, movies, you name it. There's a book out. I had my boys read it out at school called Every Man's Problem. Prevalent today, folks. Maybe that's the hindrance to you and God's power in us and revival. I conclude with this thought. The history of revival work, and I've seen this all down through the centuries, night after night, Sermons have been preached, no results obtained, until some elder or deacon or church member bursts out in agony of confession and, going to the one he has wronged, begs forgiveness. Or some woman who is a prominent worker breaks down and in tears confesses publicly that she has been gossiping about some other sister or is not on speaking terms with someone across the aisle. Maybe tonight we need to follow David's example. Verse 10, please, and we're done. Voltaire, 17th century French writer, hated Christ, hated Christians, hated the Bible. It is said that he sat down one day to write a satirical parody of Psalm 51. He began to write, make fun of it, until he came to verse 10. And here's where we need to come to. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart. I don't know that he ever got saved, but the Holy Spirit convicted his heart. What a dirty heart he had. And it says he could not go on and finish that parody. We don't make fun of the Word of God. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.